Let us open in a word of prayer, because God knows I can do nothing without it. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word which gives us nourishment and guidance and sustenance. Father, as we would seek to look into your word, we would ask that you would bless us every whit. Bless the speaker as he seeks to say what you would have him to say, and bless those listeners that they would be fortified towards a Christian life. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, your word tells us that we can do nothing without you. Your word also adds that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I have to tell you, I'm a little excited about this message for two reasons. One is that I have a feeling that there's somebody out there who needs to be comforted and bolstered up. And the second thing is that this is the first time I'm using this message. This is something new that I've done, and it's always nervous for me when I use a message that I haven't spoken from before, because I don't know what the response will be. But let's look at this. The first verse that we're going to study or take a look at is really the second verse that was read, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Now, has anybody here ever taken a journalism class? Anybody ever taken, besides me, a journalism class? There you go, brother. Okay. One of the things that a staple of journalism, at least when I took it, of course, when I took it, that was, I think my journal, that was 1967. Okay. But one of the things that they teach you is that when you are writing an article, there are five elements that you have to include in that article, called the five W's. Who, what, where, why, and when. Okay, now, what is it? Okay, and if you have in your article that you write for the newspaper, the people can tell who, what, where, why, and when, that you have a good chance of being successful. Well, not one to be critical, but if that verse had been an article that the Apostle Paul had written, he would have gotten an F. He would have failed. Because, and I'm looking at this as I'm studying this verse, and I'm really wondering why he took this method of communication. Because he doesn't tell us who, what, where, why, and when. Let's take a look at that verse again. Well, first of all, let me do something with you. When I study a verse, what I do is I take it word for word for word, and I go through what they call the Strong's Greek definition. So I look up the Greek word, and then I fill out next to it what the word means. So I end up with some notes. And many times, in order for me to get the understanding, I read those notes back to myself. So this is what Paul would have written. Okay? He says that I have suffered these things. Nevertheless, or despite, or regardless of the circumstances, I am not ashamed. I feel no shame, for I know, I am aware of who I have believed. I have faith in, I believe, and I'm persuaded, which is convinced or conciliated, that he is able, powerful, capable, has the ability to keep, to watch, to be on guard, to keep secure that which I have committed, deposited, trusted, committed unto him against that day, to that point where we are about to reach, a certain day. He told us, know who, what, where, why, and when. Do you notice that? I think part of the reason why he didn't do who, what, where, why, and when was the person that he was writing to. He was writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, and I think he assumed that Timothy would know who, what, where, why, and when. But for our benefit, we need to take a look at who, what, where, why, and when. So there's some certain words that we want to take. Besides that verse, I want to pay particular attention to. The first word is nevertheless. Nevertheless means despite or regardless. Now, what Paul is saying here, in the first part of the verse, he says, I'm fooling around here, I'm not even turning to it. He says, for which cause I also suffered these things. He doesn't tell us which cause, and he doesn't tell us what things he suffered. But for the sake of time, Paul was a gospel preacher in the early days of the church. And because he preached the gospel in the early days of the church, he was tremendously persecuted. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He had his life threatened. He was chased out of town. He had people looking for him. He was jailed. He was beaten. He had stripes on his back. And for all those things, despite those circumstances, he can say, nevertheless, or regardless. It doesn't matter. Now, for you, I have to ask you, what is your circumstance at this present time? You know, in Matthew, Jesus says, blessed are you when men revile you and speak all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Are we in those circumstances? Anybody here ever had a difficult time just because they were a Christian? Whether it be on the job? No? Raise your hand. I'm a former teacher. You got to raise your hand so I can know what's going on. Has anyone here ever been put in a bad situation just because the people know that you are a Christian? Okay, well, the Bible says, blessed are you. The Bible says you're blessed because you have been persecuted. So Paul is saying, regardless of those circumstances, I'm not ashamed. I'm proud of my stand and my suffering. He says, for I know, I'm aware, I am very much conscious of whom I have believed. Now, who's the whom? Who's the whom? The whom is Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Let's leave that there for a minute because we're going to come back to that. We're going to continue on down the verse. Because he says, whom I have believed, that person whom I have believed, that he, the same person, is able, is powerful enough, is strong enough, is capable enough to keep or to protect or to be on guard or to keep safe that. Now, what's that? What is that? That he has something. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, I believe that God is going to be powerful and capable enough to keep what I've given him or what I've committed unto him. What is that? What is that? Okay, first of all, let me tell you, it's more than one thing. Okay, that can be more than one thing. Okay? First of all, it is your life that you have given as a believer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We have dedicated our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also means our eternal soul. And And that's the important thing. Because this is not a matter of giving it to him as much as it is entrusting it to him. And you need to see the difference between that. Okay? You understand the difference between that? We have entrusted our eternal soul to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, everybody here has an eternal soul. Let me say it again. Everyone here, each individual person here, has an eternal soul. Okay? The Apostle Paul says that my eternal soul, I have entrusted it to God. I have entrusted it with him against that day. Against what day? First of all, let me say this to you. We want to be careful who we entrust our eternal soul to. Okay? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will he give in exchange for his soul? Against that day. What day? Okay. Another interpretation of against that day is at the appointed time. You see, because just as each person here has an eternal soul, your eternal soul has an appointed time. Now, I don't know when that is. I don't know when my appointed time is, and I sure don't know when your appointed time is. But I can guarantee you that there is an appointed time. The Bible says, "You help me out, Rich. It is appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed unto man, humanity, once to die. And after death, the judgment." Okay? See, there is going to come a point when this life that we have given to Christ, this life that we have given to Christ, this life that you have dedicated to Christ, this life that you are working for, the ministry that you do, the work that you do, the money that you give to the church, all those things that you do down here comes to an end. And when that comes to an end, then your eternal soul comes into play. Because you have moved from time to eternity. Got it? Think about what I'm saying here. You have an eternal soul. And there's going to come a time in this life that you have that your time on this earth will end and you will move into a different dimension called eternity. And what happens to your eternal soul that everyone has depends on who you have entrusted with that eternal soul. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on who you have entrusted it to. That day is coming. Either you're going to die or the Lord's going to come. But it's going to happen. Okay. So what do we got so far? We know that the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is speaking for us because everyone here who is a believer is in the same circumstance. You, as a believer, have committed your eternal soul to God. But the Apostle Paul, what I love about this is that the Apostle Paul says, I am persuaded. I know who I am, believe, I'm trusting, and I'm persuaded. And that word persuaded is a wonderful word. Let me tell you what it is exactly. It's called pitho, and it means convinced and conciliated. and they're two different words. Convinced means convinced. I am convinced. Conciliated means not only am I convinced, but I'm satisfied. I feel good about it. So Paul is saying that I know who my eternal soul is with, and I'm convinced about this, and he's so certain about it that it doesn't matter to him what circumstance he finds himself in. And again, I asked you at the start of this message, what circumstances are you in? What's going on with you in your life today, this week? What's coming up next week in your life that you're aware of? Okay. It doesn't matter what Paul says. It doesn't matter if it's something really great, and it doesn't matter if it's something really, really horrible. Because regardless of what those things may happen, at some point in time, your eternal soul comes into play. And he has entrusted it to God. So I want to stop here for a minute. And I'm running a little short on time, so I'm going to go real fast. I'm going to stop here for a minute and remind you that one of the reasons the Apostle Paul can be so certain because he knows who God is. And I want to remind us a little bit as to who God is. I want to make you think about it, this three-in-one person, this concept of God, this character, this person who is a real person, the triune God. So what I did was I went and looked up names of God, the names of God. I had one brother that said that as far as he can count, God has about 120 names in the Bible. Now, unfortunately, I can't go into 120 names because you would stone me. But I just want to remind you, first of all, let me read you something from Isaiah. Isaiah 46 says, this is God speaking, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. With whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? There is none. There is no comparison. Remember this. Keep it in your hearts. Take it this to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God. And there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I made known the ending from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God is not bashful about who he is. So let's look at some of the names of God. El Shaddai. You all know that one, right? The Lord God Almighty. El Elohim, the Lord Most High. Adonai, Lord and Master. Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shamra, the Lord is here. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our God is righteous. Jehovah Meskedishen, the Lord who sanctifies you. Elolam, the everlasting God. Elohim, God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And then when Isaiah gets into it, he says that he is going to be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Wonderful, the Almighty God. In the New Testament, he's referred to as the Word. He's referred to as the Redeemer. He is the Lord God. He is God. Jesus himself in Revelation said, I am the beginning and the end. So we've just covered maybe about 20 names of God. And that's a whole study in itself. But the point that I want to make to you this morning is the reason why the Apostle Paul and I can be so confident in this God is that everything that I have named, every name that I have called out, God is absolute. He is absolute that. He is absolutely the Lord God Almighty. He is perfectly the Lord God Almighty. He is absolutely the Most High God. He is perfectly the Lord and Master. He is absolutely the Lord my banner. He is perfectly my shepherd. Everything about the Lord, all these names, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Wonderful, the Lord, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, every role that we incapacitate, every description that we give to God, he is 100% absolute and pure. He is perfect. So that when I say to you, or the Apostle Paul writes to you and he says, I know who I am, have believed, and am persuaded. Because he knows who God is. And sometimes we have to be reminded as to who God is. He's not a catchphrase. He is Lord God Almighty. So therefore, we as Christians can say, along with the Apostle Paul, I know who I have believed. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is the everlasting God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the greatest counselor. He's the Redeemer of all mankind. He is the Lord God. There was nothing made that was made without him. I know whom I have believed. And because I know whom I have believed, I am 100% convinced and satisfied that he is able to keep what I have committed or given to him against that day. Just a little bit about absolute and perfect. If we go back to the first set of verses that were read in Romans, Romans chapter 8, and we know this. I picked these two verses. We didn't have to read them, because in this church, in this assembly, in this brethren-based assembly, if you don't know these verses, shame on you. Because you heard them time and time again. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. What the Apostle Paul is saying, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. I told you God was absolute. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. When he says no creature, says nothing ever created by God can separate us from the love of God. You want to see another absolute in this verse, the chapter? Look down at verse 28. It says, we know that some things work together for good. Is that what it says? No, what does it say? It says all things. Do you believe it? No, if you believe it, raise your hand. Do you believe it? Because you have to believe it, because what happens is the devil comes at you with all kinds of nonsense. And he wants you to stop believing that God cannot take care of your eternal soul, that you're lost. And we want to be able to look at the devil and say, get thee behind me, Satan, my God. My God is able. So, if you're going through something right now, if you're about to go through something, if you went through something and you still don't understand, you need to understand that as a Christian, your God is able to keep what you have committed unto him against that day. So that regardless of what's going on, in the end, we are victorious. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm skipping a whole section. because I want you to think about the absolute and the perfect. Your assignment. Was that Mission Impossible? Should you choose to accept it? Your assignment is start looking in the Word of God for proof. For proof of God's absolute power. Of God's perfect power. They're all over the place. That's why I'm skipping it, because I could not possibly cover it. The law of the Lord is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. He is the rock. His word is perfect. All his way. One of the themes of the Bible is that you can trust God because God is who he is. You know, there's a song. How many of you listen to K-Love? Listen to K-Love? Okay. You know that song, I Am? I love that song. Because God says, when Moses says to God, okay, you're sending me to Pharaoh, and I'm going to go represent you, and Pharaoh's going to ask who you are. God said, tell him I am sent you. And the heaviness of that statement weighs you down. Because God is I am always. Remember absolute? God is I am always. If you were to go back a billion, trillion years in the past and you encountered God, he would be I am. And if you were to go a billion, trillion years in the future and you were to encounter God, he would be I am. And this day, on this Sunday, when we as people are gathered in his church and we are trusting him because we have put our eternal souls in him, our eternal soul in his care, who is it that we have done? We have done it. We have given it to I am. I am. That's why in Revelation he could say, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, if you go into a psychologist's office and tell him I'm two opposite ends of the spectrum, he's commending you. He's going to give you some medication. You understand what I'm saying? If you tell him I'm whatever spectrum I'm talking about, I'm on the opposite. I'm light and I'm darkness. You know, I'm smart but I'm stupid. You know what I'm saying? You can't. But God, the great I am, he says, I am the beginning and the end. We serve a wonderful God, folks. Okay. So here we are now. And I have some questions for you. I want to ask you, and I'm wrapping up now. What is your circumstance? I started off with that. What is your circumstance? Now, I believe many of you here will say, my circumstance is that I'm a believer and I'm surrounded by believers. But it's possible that there's someone sitting in this room tonight or this afternoon who is not a believer. That you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that this great God that we have talked about has not yet become a part of your life. So then the question for you is, what is my circumstance? See, because regardless of your circumstance, whether you are saved or not, you still have an eternal soul. And that eternal soul still has an appointment. And that eternal soul has an appointment that against that day. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, these are very serious questions for you. You should be saying, okay, who have I entrusted my eternal soul to? And you may say, well, I haven't entrusted it to anybody. I'm keeping it myself. That's not a good answer. The only person that can promise you that your eternal soul will end up in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is a shell game. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I remember, absolutely. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they're God trying. They are absolute. Jesus did never said, I am one of the best ways for you to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. Absolutely and perfectly the way. I am the truth. I am the absolute truth. I know every now and then we get some silly boxer coming up talking about I'm the truth. Okay, he'll find out. Okay? And I am the life. Absolutely and perfectly the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way you're going to get to heaven, the only way your eternal soul is going to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other way is going to leave you at the mercy of Satan and this world. And that day is coming. It's going to come. And again, I tell you, that day is either the day that you die or the day that Jesus comes back. Now, when that day comes, to be very crass about it, which way are you going? Up or down? But it's going to happen. And because I love you, and because I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my absolute duty to make you aware of this circumstance. Because when it comes, I don't want anybody to say, Brother Grant, why didn't you let me know? I'm telling you now. Today is the day of salvation. Because you don't know. You don't know. I presided at a funeral on Friday. And one of the things that I told, we were talking about grace. God's grace. The person that died happened to be named Grace, and it kind of led in very nicely. But God's grace gives us time. But God doesn't tell us how much time. And what I said to those people on Friday, I said, God's grace gives you time. But you know, there were people who got up this morning at 7 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock this evening, they're not no longer with us. That could happen to anyone. People, I am urging you. I am begging you. Assure the future of your eternal soul. Put it in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, bow your heads, close your eyes. If you were in here in this room right now, the reason I ask folks to bow their heads and close their eyes is because the question that I'm about to ask you is between you and God. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Put it up. I got two hands in the back, folks. I got a third hand over here. Saints, keep your heads down. The Lord is working. Sam, two right there. Yvette, Joey. Joey. In the back row, two in the back row, right there, right in front of you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to make an altar call, but I'm going to pray for you. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come up to the front and let me know who you are so that either I or someone else can sit with you and tell you how you can be assured that your eternal soul is safe. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for these three people who have raised their hands, who have indicated that they would like to know your Son as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your word guarantees us that you are not a God who will turn anyone away. So we thank you, Lord. We ask that as we speak to these, that they would come to know you truly as Savior and Lord, and that they can say, along with the Apostle Paul, I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Father, we are so thankful for you because you're such a good and gracious God. We ask that you would just bless the rest of the day, and we continue to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I've learned to say, because I'm constantly hanging around with young people, you know, is that one of the terms that they use, and I don't know how old it is, but I'm starting to use it now, is I appreciate you.